Welcome back, you guys, to another episode of Cheat Day Podcast with your hosts, Kristen
and Frankie.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's good to be back.
I mean, it's been what, like a week?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we try to record every week, if possible. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I worked today. I had therapy. Mm-hmm. I had snacks. I ate meals. It was okay. A successful day. It was good. Successful. Yeah. How about you?
I'm okay. I mean, this week I got kind of sick. So, of course, you know, when you tell people that you're sick, everybody immediately freaks out. So I went and got tested, got poked in both nostrils and the back of my throat. Not fun. But at least it was a drive-thru. So I, you know, drove up to a parking lot at Kaiser and they did it right there in my car. So I didn't have to go anywhere. And my results are negative. So that's a plus. So it was just cold. But I'm feeling better now. Feeling better now. What have you been? Yeah, thank you. How was, what have you been doing? I know you had a show on Wednesday. Maybe you want to tell people about that.
I did. So I started doing this little show called Crafts with Kristen back in July of 2020 at my dining room table. And it has evolved into Crafty Crafts with Kristen on Hump Day. We've changed it now to Wednesday nights. And I created like a backdrop and there's it's like a set now.
It's beautiful.
So it went from my dining room table to kind of a legit set.
Yeah.
You know, from a cute little LA apartment.
Yeah, no, I love it. It's really, really nice. You worked really hard and I watched the whole show and you did great. I can really see the direction that you're going into, right?
Yeah.
Very, very cool. We encourage everybody to go and watch. Wednesday's at 6?
Wednesday's at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on my Facebook Live as of now. So... Mm-hmm. It is, I do believe the video is public. I always share it as public. So if I'm pretty sure if you went to Facebook and searched Kristen Brock Jones, the video Crafty Crafts with Kristen, the vid would show up. So,
yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about coming out,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. Sort of like our experiences and I know when we were talking about the topic, you know, you say you're still coming out, you know, for a lot of people, that's sort of how it is as you evolve as a person. And actually this week, both Elliot Page came out as trans and non-binary and singer Youngblood came out as pansexual. So, you know, a lot happening. And I feel when celebrities come out as whatever, it's big news. I mean, it was nice to see with Elliot, all of the outlets, the media outlets were like respecting pronouns and name and all of that. So that was really nice to see. And it is a big impact because, again, representation matters and it's good to be visible and out there. You know, I know a lot of celebrities have a big platform and some use it for good. You know, like Elliot sort of shared that they know that they have privilege, but that they want to use the platform to help others and campaign against the violence that's often the victims are, you know, transgender and gender nonconforming people. I think we had 37 people killed this year, which has been like the highest so far.
Transphobe, 37 transphobe.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You know, we have others that come out and without saying any names, I think we kind of know somebody that came from reality TV, who came out and didn't do so good. Or at least, you know, they try, but some things they were not so good at others. But I think Elliot is going to, they have been doing some good work and will continue to do so. So how was your sort of coming out to yourself, or like when did you kind of first realize that something was happening?
I think I was curious in high school, although I don't really think I understood what was going on. Because growing up, I was just taught not to be gay. That's all I really understood, was just don't be gay. But I was always curious about the opposite sex, the girls. And I remember kind of having a little crush on a dear friend of mine in high school. And I remember it was like right before I had moved down to LA. I'd had a going away party and we all got wasted, and she had spent the night and we were in my bed. And I remember in my head thinking to myself, make a move. And I had never, like, I didn't understand what that was. And I still, even after the fact, did not understand what that was. So I just kind of went on with my life and moved down to LA and immediately met a woman, which again, I just thought we were friends. it didn't quite compute to me that she was trying to date me. And so 6 months into being friends, it got physical, and I was like, physical in the sense that, like, you know, we were intimate with each other. And that was just like it was a surprise to me. I didn't really understand what was going on. Cause again, no one had ever really had any conversations with me about this, and social media was not a thing, and influencers were not a thing. And there just wasn't as much presence. There was more presence, right? But, you know, being gay and being out in the open about it wasn't necessarily as on trend as it is more so now. And so that's kind of when it all began. I would say those are like my two memories of being older and remembering that I was attracted to women, but scared or unsure or not really sure what that was, you know. That was kind of the beginning of me coming out and my gender and my sexuality and all of that stuff. And it's, mm-hmm. it's just been a continuation and an exploration. Like, I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think for me, it started when I was really young. Like, I remember as a little kid, like, I mean, I didn't know what it was, but I was drawn to other boys. Like, and I like girls because I think, you know, in this heteronormative society, you are sort of taught from the get-go that you need to, oh, do you have a girlfriend? Do you have a little girlfriend? Like, I'm like, no, not really. I'm six. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't really know what I like at anybody. I'm too young. But I knew even at that age that I was, there was something about boys that I liked, that it was different for girls. I thought girls were really pretty and I liked their hair and I wanted to brush it. But, you know, I wasn't really, and sort of that was kind of like the case. Like, I had a lot of friends, both boys and girls, but it was like a different thing. And before I moved to the US, I must have been like 12 or 13. There was this boy in my class, and he was just like beautiful, but he had a girlfriend, and he was, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, he acted like the boys were supposed to act, like he did like sports and things like that. But him and I had an interesting relationship, and a couple of things happened where, you know, sort of like rocked my world. Like, I didn't really know how to process that. I mean, it didn't really go too far, because I think we're both kind of very scared of what this was. I know we sort of flirted a lot in school with each other, and then we had made plans to see ourselves outside of school. And he stood me up. And that was like my first kind of heartbreak. And then I called him and he like, you know, when you, I don't know if this happened to you, but sometimes like you call somebody and back then you call the house because nobody had cell phones. And you could hear people in the back like say, oh, I'm not here, I'm not here. That's sort of like what happened with him. He was just kind of trying to ghost me, even though we were going to school, so I was going to see him on Monday. But that's sort of where that ended. But that experience sort of opened me up to, okay, there's something here that maybe I want to explore at some point. Not right now, because I'm like 12 or 13, and I'm about to move to the U.S., and I don't know what that's going to be like. But that's sort of where it all kind of kicked into gear for me. And then I came to the U.S. and, you know, that was, I had to deal with that first, sort of like the shock of being in a different country and surrounded by different people. But when I think, so I put that in the back burner for a couple of years, like my sexuality, until I got to college. And again, I kind of had feelings for something that I couldn't have. And, you know, kind of same thing, even though I was 16, 17 when I went to college, because I was like a year ahead. So I didn't really know what the hell was happening, but I knew that I had feelings for this guy. And again, he was like flirty, and I think he was also questioning a lot of things, because he would always joke about like gay stuff. And then he invited me. He was from New Jersey, and he invited me to a Billy Joel concert in Newark. So I went home with him, and I like met his parents, and I stayed for a couple of nights, and we were looking at something, and he like joked about kissing me, but he put his face so close to my face that I almost lost it again. Because things like that, when you're that young, really kind of, when you don't have a lot of experience around sexuality, can really impact you in so many ways. But yeah, that didn't go anywhere either. And I actually like looked him up on Facebook a couple of months ago, and he's like married and has like 3 kids. So I don't know what happened in his life, but yeah. And then, you know, then I got older and, you know, went to like a drop-in center for young people when I was 18 that I found online. And I, you know, Providence is not like a huge place, but I guess it's big enough and city-like enough to have a drop-in center for LGBT youth. So I went there, and that's, you know, from there on, I just opened the closet door wide open. And I never went in, went back in. I came out to my mom when I was 20, and she, of course, she told me she already knew. And I was like, well, why don't you tell me? But she was lovely about it. And yeah, that was, it's pretty kind of traditional, my coming out. Like, it's nothing terrible happened, thank God. So I'm thankful for that. But I do think, you know, sexuality is fluid, and you learn about yourself as you grow. And because, you know, when I was 20 years old, I was, you know, mainly attracted, because that was sort of like what I was seeing is cis men. So, you know, that's what you think, that those are your choices. But then as you move about in the world and you realize, well, maybe I'm attracted to this something else, or your view of things expand. So yeah, sexuality is very fluid, very fluid. So what is, I know that recently you came out as genderqueer. Mm-hmm. So what was that process like for you?
I think it's just been a long time coming. Mm-hmm. And just being really curious, just about like why? I never really knew I had options, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I never knew that there were six different genders. I didn't know that there was non-binary. I didn't know that there was genderqueer. I didn't know that you could just, you know, that you could be attracted to men, women, I just didn't know all of that. And in my 38 years, I have learned that all of those things are possible. And just because you wear dresses doesn't make you a girl. And just because you like girls doesn't make you a lesbian. And just because I have, you know, a uterus, that also does not make me a woman. Like, there's just so many things that have always kind of, I've been told, this is what makes you a woman. This is why you are a woman. And as a woman, these are the rules, right? Like, that is what I learned. And I just, there are no rules. Like, all this shit has been made up. It's all made up. Mm-hmm. It's all made up. And then we co-signed, you know, the bullshit. And so, you know, I think a lot of that had to do with why I started questioning that stuff more, and realizing that there are options, and that, you know, just because, you know, just because of A, B, and C, that doesn't mean that I have to identify as a woman. And there's no set anything that goes with it. I can just be me. Mm-hmm. I can just authentically be me, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. It's not harming anybody. So, yeah, it's, I'm still kind of coming out, like, cause it's weird. It's like, do you send out like mailers? Like, do you let people know? Is it an email? You know, like, do people even really care? You know, I don't know. I don't know. So that's been interesting too, because it's just been more something I share with like people that I love, know, and trust, and I think have an interest and an investment in me. And, but you know, I also have talked about it on my platform. I haven't talked about it as much just because it's still something that I'm exploring. But it is something that I want to use my platform for. I have been talking about pronouns more, you know, just as far as like suggesting that people always present their pronouns, because it makes other people who maybe don't feel as comfortable sharing their pronouns, makes them feel comfortable to share theirs. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, yeah, it's a process. It's a process. I mean, I'll probably be coming out the rest of my life, because I feel like I've been coming out my entire life. Mm-hmm. I don't know when that process stops, because I don't know when the exploration stops.
Right. What has been like, have you had a pretty good response with the people that you've come out to?
Yeah, people seem pretty indifferent to it, or they're like, cool.
Have you ever had to explain?
I have had to explain, and I almost feel like, because I have identified as a woman as long as I have, and because I've used, you know, she, her, hers, and all those things, people are kind of like, but I need you to explain to me why you're genderqueer. Almost like I have to qualify. So that's been really interesting. And it's people in the community, you know? So that hasn't been the response of everybody, but I've gotten different responses from people. And it's even made me think about, you know, like how much explaining I feel like I need to do. Because I mean, really, at the end of the day, I don't got to explain anything to anybody. If I'm genderqueer, I'm genderqueer. That's it. That's my only qualifier. That's the only thing that has to be said in order for me to qualify for that title. So I wear it proudly, and I'm excited to continue to explore what that means to me. You know?
Nice.
So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been really interesting, but good. I would say the response has been good.
Good.
Yeah. Were people genuinely like warm to you, like coming out? Like, your mom knew, but did you have a lot of?
Well, I mean, my mom says that she knew, but she actually thought I was like on drugs at first, because I mean, my behavior was so erratic.
Yeah,
you know, I was like coming and going all times, you know, all kinds of times, and not really communicating a whole lot about what was happening with my life. And that has been like a first time that I haven't really communicated things that were happening or friends that were dropping me off or picking me up. And so, yeah, she thought that I was doing drugs. I remember one time I showed up and I had bleached my hair like platinum blonde, and I had an earring, and then I got a tattoo. I mean, she knew, she had no, you know, she had no idea what the hell was going on.
She was like, please let him be gay. Please let him be gay. Please let him be gay.
Correct. And then that happened. Yes. But I mean, other than that, because the thing is, like, when I went to the drop-in center, I sort of, my whole, all of my friends came from there. So, like, everybody was queer. Everybody, you know. So I didn't really have to explain all that much. My friends from high school, I never really saw again. And I had a few friends from college, but again, it's like not really people that were all that relevant. And right. Because I have moved schools from like Puerto Rico to Providence, I had like friends from Puerto Rico who I never talked to after a couple of years. So I feel like I didn't even have to come out other than in like social situations or job situations. After a while, I felt like I needed to establish the fact that I was gay, because, you know, people, you know, I've been in a room where people have said things that, you know, were upsetting and offensive. So yeah. But other than that, I feel like I never really had a terrible experience. Of course, I've gotten into arguments with people in regards to, at the time, like gay marriage and why it's important and all that kind of stuff, which don't longer, I mean, at this point, I don't need to have those conversations. Luckily, at this point, hopefully we will not have to have those conversations again in the future. But yeah, I feel like I haven't had terrible experiences. Of course, I've been like places or walking down the street and been called things, because that unfortunately happens, and it still happens. But I was like thinking of like coming out, like, is that even a thing anymore? Like, you know, like, is that something that people do? And I guess in some places, people still do that. But because I just feel like Gen Zers are just, you know, doing whatever the hell they want to do and being who they want to be and their true selves unapologetically, not giving a fuck.
Yep.
They feel like they don't have to explain anything to anybody, which they don't.
Nope.
So, I come from a very different school of thought.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you know, when I was when I first came out, I didn't really know any trans people. Or maybe I did. They just weren't out at the time.
Right.
You know, so, and I feel like now you can find a person that does, I mean, you could in different places, but I think, like, let's say now here, you can't really find people that don't know any trans people. Because there's,
well, that and it's, it, I mean, there's like trans representation on mm-hmm. TV.
Correct.
You know, so that's huge. Mm-hmm. So big. So mm-hmm. It's like, even if you don't know a trans person directly, it's like most people know a trans person, like
yeah.
you said.
Yeah. And even though the representation that we have, there's some great things like Pose, but there still isn't as much as there should be.
No.
Of so many things, you know, like, I'll be happy when the world that they're creating looks like the world really
we all live in.
Correct. Correct. I mean, there's still no fat people.
No.
There's like a few. Like, none of them really have any, like, an arc. Just give me a story. Give me a story where I'm not the best friend.
Right. Make me the lead, goddammit.
Yes, that's all I want. That's all I want.
For real.
Yeah. So what else is going on, Mamas?
Oh, God. I just, you know, just working yeah. on everything.
Yeah. How's the Etsy shop?
I was telling Andy today, he's like, thank God, it's going good. It's going good. But there are some pictures up of some clear art bags that I have that the pictures do not do them any justice. In fact, it's in my opinion, it's so bad. And I feel like it completely takes away from the rest of the shop.
Okay.
So I was trying to shoot pictures today. And I'm having a hard time with composition, which apparently is the hardest thing to learn. I have the eye, but composition.
Yeah.
And it like depends on what we're talking about, right? Like I'm good with composition in some things, but other things like taking photographs of my art, I've never done that before. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do shit I've never done before. Andy is, you know, he's got, I swear to God, that man's got close to 30 plus years experience. Not 30 plus years. I just made him really old. He's been doing this shit a long time and he knows what he's talking about. So he was really helpful today. And he said that tomorrow we're going to go outside and we are going to shoot these bags because I just need to get the new pictures up on the site.
Yeah.
Girl. But working on it. Nice. It's a work in progress, right? Yeah. Like Rome is not built in a day.
No.
And so I'm just building as we go. Love Your Show, You Guys, is the name of the Etsy shop. So if you're into like fun prints and bags and things, stop by the shop. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool stuff up right now.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of cool items, did you see that AOC is like selling merch on her website? Yeah, to fund like grassroots organizing stuff. But she has one that like tax the rich. I guess she's using like things that she had said. And that one's selling really well. I guess the Republicans are really angry about it. And they're gender neutral. She's selling gender neutral merch. So that there's a few. Actually, I was looking at them earlier. There's one that says, of course, tax the rich. Then one says, one has like student debt across the chest with like, whether it's crossed out. And then there's another one says, drink water and don't be racist.
I love it.
Yeah. So she, you know, and I guess everything's made in the US. And I guess some people were complaining about the price, but as somebody pointed out, when you pay a little more for something, that means that the people who are making it are making a living wage. So, you know.
That part.
Yeah. And I feel like that is very important that, because, you know, for too long, people have been using sweatshops and paying people nothing to make items and then sell them for a lot and keeping all of that for themselves. So if I need to pay a little more to make sure that people who are working on these items get paid the way they're supposed to, I'm okay with that. You know? Yeah, so I feel like we should get the tax the rich or drink water. Don't be racist one.
Yes.
Definitely student debt one. I need that one.
Right? What about the Green New Deal bandana, yeah. honey?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, stop it. Drink water and don't be racist. AOC plus me. I love this. Cute, she's got right? really great stuff. I'm living for her merch.
Yeah. I feel like she's a very important voice for today and for the future.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. All right, Mama. So it seems like... this is probably about it.
Okay.
So where can people find you?
You can find me at Love Your Show 20 on Insta. You can also find us on Cheat Day Podcast on Insta. Mm-hmm. You can find my Etsy shop at Love Your Show. And I think that's it, right? Is that it for right now? That's it for right now. Oh, and then obviously the show at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live.
Yes.
On Wednesdays, mm-hmm. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Kristen Brock Jenez.
Perfect.
Look me up.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see you. I mean, we didn't even talk about the lockdown that's happening right now. We are in a lockdown.
Is this going to air next week?
What?
Is this going to air next
week? No, it's going to air this week.
Oh, okay. Do you want to talk?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. We'll talk about it. I mean, I'm sure it's still going to be going on next week. So we can talk about how we're feeling about it next time. But yeah, we hope that everybody that's listening is safe.
Yes.
And, please follow the guidelines. Wear your mask. And we love you.
Love you guys.
Talk to you soon.
Love your shows.